We can come and worship, be with other Christians, enjoy the fellowship that we have together, to sing, to hear God's word. So I'm glad that you're here, and I trust that you are as well. We're going to start our service with prayer and then begin with several of our hymns and scripture songs. So I invite you to stand with me as we begin the service, and we'll pray together. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this morning. Every day is a blessing from you. Every day reveals new mercies and graces that you give to us, that you lavish on us. Every Sunday is a day that we celebrate together. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's alive. And we're going to celebrate the sacrifice that you made with communion today, as we remember that our salvation may be free, but it was not cheap, and the cost that you paid to bring us to yourself. Just pray that everything that's done today would be honoring to you, that you would be with Bruce as he shares the things that you've shown him this week, that you'd use these songs to encourage us, to help us think about how much we love you, how much you love us, and how much we should love each other. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So our first hymn, I don't have to tell you to stand. We're already standing up. But all of our songs, since if you were not familiar, Bruce already told us he's preaching about David and Goliath. So I picked all the songs that talk about spiritual battles, because that been one I would like to have seen. I guess maybe God's going to show us the movie, home movies, when we get to heaven, of all the things that happen like that. But it's a reminder for us as Christians. All the songs this morning are going to remind us we're in a battle. And you can't just say, okay, I'll be neutral, I'll be Switzerland, and maybe Satan won't bother me. He don't play that way. He is out to destroy you. He gets nothing, no greater pleasure than that. And he can hurt God, he knows, by hurting you and causing you to not be the Christian that God desires us to be. So we are soldiers of the cross, and we are lifting the banner under which we go, the cross of Jesus Christ.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord. Bye.
Scripture songs taken from the book of 2 Corinthians reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle, not a physical one, and that our enemy is his wiles, his temptations and things he uses are on a spiritual level, and so the weapons that we have to use have to be a spiritual one as well. God's word and faith and trust in Him. When Paul wrote to Timothy, I think he recognized this was the last time he was going to be able to write somebody. And he recognized that his life was about to end, and that he recognized he had done all he could for Jesus Christ. He did all the things that God set before him. And it's a great reminder for each of us that this is a kind of prayer, a kind of dedication we should have, that when we get to the end of our lives, we can look back and say, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, and I know that you are waiting for me, and we are living for Christ so that one day we can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I have fought the good fight.
The good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness.
Revelation, it talks about those who were in heaven and at rest from their fight. And it talks about how they got there. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by their faith in Him. And so that is our battle cry as well. As long as we're here on earth, we're seeking to live for Jesus Christ. And if we live in faith, we will be victorious. Faith is the victory.
Christian soldiers lie and twist the battle in the night, shall fill the golden sky. Against the flowing wheels below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is a victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. By faith they like a whirlwind swept, swept down our every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand a foe we find drawn up. The tents of ease we left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth on earth above. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Our hearts with love aflame. We'll vanquish all the hosts of might in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
I guess if you were paying attention to the words in that hymn, you noticed he alluded a lot to the spiritual armor that we have to wear as Christians. In Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us that He has some spiritual armor we're supposed to wear to be able to overcome and have the victory. So this song that I'd like to share with you is called The War, and it talks about the internal fight that each one of us has to go against. When that other hymn said we're facing the world, it's not the people in the world, it's the world system and the thoughts and the way that Satan controls this world, and he wants us to think like him and act like him and love what he loves. And so this war is only going to be won by wearing the spiritual armor. So that's what this song's all about.
Mm-hmm.
waters raging in my soul between heaven and hell. There's a new man born by faith in God, but an old man's there as well. They fight to lead my every step, each thought, each word, each deed. To win the fight and live for Christ, God's armor's what I need. I need the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, gospel shoes to bring good news to every tribe and nation, the righteousness of Jesus Christ to guard my fragile heart, the word of God to be my sword. Now I'm ready to go to war. Too many battles Satan's won because I failed to wear the armor God has given me within this lion's lair. Like Joshua, I must choose each day whom I will serve. From the narrow path that leads to life, I will not sway or swerve. I'll wear the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, gospel shoes to bring good news to every tribe and nation, the righteousness of Jesus Christ to guard my fragile heart, the word of God to be my sword. Now I'm ready to go. I grow so weary in this endless fight, and the struggle I must go through just to do what's right. But to those who fight and look for Him, God promises a crown, and we can rest in our new home and lay our armor down. We wore the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, gospel shoes to bring good news to every tribe and nation, the righteousness of Jesus Christ to guard our fragile heart, the word of God to be our sword. We finally won the war. We wore the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, gospel shoes to bring good news to every tribe and nation, righteousness of Jesus Christ to guard our fragile heart, the word of God to be our sword. We finally won the war.
Good morning. Today's reading is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And feel free to follow along in a Bible you brought yourself or one you find in the pew, or just be blessed by listening. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And Father God, I am so thankful, Lord, that that you called me out of darkness into light, and that many people hearing this have that same story, a similar one, but a little different, of how they were living in the world, and you brought them out of it and into your salvation and into your kingdom. And I am so thankful that you've done that, Lord, and help us, help me, Lord, to cling to you, Lord, and not be fooled and outwitted, and to delve into the things of the world to a point that I lose my love of you. I pray that will never happen. Father God, thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship you in music, in the reading of your word, and the preaching of the same. Lord, thank you for our deacon, Bruce. Lord, he loves God. He loves your word, and he loves us. I pray that you'd put in his heart and his mind what you'd have him share with us, and give us ears to hear, so we'll take to heart what we are being shared. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Situate my water here. I had Jeff read that passage today. I just love the intimacy that God brings forth in that, that we're his sons and daughters, and you know, our Heavenly Father. Just great verses for me, to encourage me, and I think about it with the subject today of David and Goliath, that that David, he demonstrated that intimacy and the faith that came from that as he, faith in his Heavenly Father while he was on the battlefield with Goliath. And so today we're going to see what we can learn from the story so that we can apply it to our lives and the battlefields that we're on. I know probably most of you would agree with that, I think, that there's battles throughout our lifetime, right, that we fight. And so first let's start out with just looking at the battlefield. It takes place when the Philistines, they're camped in an area called Ephes Damon, and this is 1 Samuel 17. And then Saul and his men, they were camped in the valley of Elah. Both of these were within miles of Bethlehem, if you're trying to get a picture of where this is taking place. So it was within a few miles of Bethlehem. And when they faced off against each other, the armies were on two mountains. There was a valley between them, and they were on two mountains facing off to each other each day. So try to imagine that you're in this scene, and that, you know, you're trying to relax a little bit, but most likely, you know, with these armies so close together, you're hearing or seeing maybe their campfire, you're smelling, you know, food from the other camp, you're maybe hearing sounds, maybe there's drums being played or what have you. You know, it's a lot different than our modern warfare, where today, you know, you've got people using drones and they're thousands of miles away and they're sipping their coffee and they send in a drone to do some type of warfare, right? So it's a very up close and personal situation for these men. Tensions are very high, right? And so you've got this going on, and then the champion from Gath is revealed, Goliath. And Goliath is 9 foot 9 inches tall, right? I have a hard time capturing that in my head. So I brought a prop today. I don't usually like props, but today I brought a prop. And Goliath, his head would be about where the tip of that is. That's 9 foot 9 inches. It's off by a couple inches, but 9 foot 9 inches. That's hard to imagine. And that's just his head. Think about his arms. You know, when he reached out to you or what have you. He wore a bronze helmet. His scale armor, which would be over his chest and stuff, weighed 125 pounds. You think about, you know, some of the men might have weighed 125 pounds or 175 pounds. This guy's armor weighed 125 pounds. He had bronze shins on, shin guards to guard his shins. He had a javelin, and a javelin was, you know, like a spear, but it was a little thinner. It was more for throwing long range, hitting somebody at a distance. He also had a spear, and it said the spear was like a weaver's beam. And what that means is a weaver's beam is about 2 inches in diameter, right? The whole length of the spear, 2 inches in diameter. It said the head, or the tip of the spear, was 15 pounds. 15 pounds. So to balance that out, that spear had to be probably about 12 and a half feet long, right? So that's like double most of us in height. And this is what Goliath would yield coming at you, right? 15 pounds. I can't imagine the look on these guys' face. So have you ever heard of the term bringing in a ringer? That's somebody that has exceptional abilities, right? Well, that was basically what they did. They brought in a giant. He was the ringer. And have you ever experienced anything like that in your life? Think back. And I have. I literally experienced that when I was in the ninth grade. I was a little bit tall for that age. I was like, say, 5'10". I was playing basketball, and the other team had a guy that was like the size of a professional basketball player. He was over 6'5", and here I am, 5'10". And so my Coach Tillman, I'll never forget him, he's like, you know, Hardy, cover that guy and take him out. I'm sitting there, I'm going, take him out? What does take him out mean, right? I'm like, so I'm thinking, okay, he means make it hard for him to get around, hard to score, maybe he'll foul out, hit me a lot and foul out, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm trying to guard Ken, and I got to tell you, I wasn't happy with that assignment. It wasn't the best assignment. And I wondered if Ken remembered that a couple years back in vacation Bible school, I had pulled a fish hook into his hand while we were doing a skit. And he had to go to the emergency room and all that good stuff. So I'm sitting there, got that in the back of my head. I wonder if he's going to, you know, be a little bit upset with me, but I don't think he realized it, so that was good. But the point being, giants exist in our daily lives, right? It's a person or it's some type of catastrophe. They do exist. And so these guys have this huge giant, and then he gives the challenge. So Goliath, he says, why draw up in a battle array? Why line up to do battle with everybody? Just send one guy and let him come up against me. And if your guy wins, then we'll be your slaves, we'll be your servants. But if I win, then vice versa, right? So you've got Goliath making this, and you know, imagine seeing the giant and hearing this challenge, right? And you thought you were just going out to battle. You'd be on a field with like thousands of soldiers or what have you, and it wouldn't be so personal, let's say. But this was a personal challenge from a giant, right? So then you got the response from Israel, which is a little bit understandable. basically Saul and all of his army were afraid, it says. You know, and these are battle-hardened men, been in many battles, bloody battles, but they were afraid. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've been in a situation where, you know, maybe it's more of a heat of the moment. You had, you know, fear come upon you from this situation, but maybe it was over in seconds. Maybe it was minutes, or maybe the day, possibly, right? Most cases, it's over for us. But you got to remember, it says this went on for 40 days. Every day, Goliath came out. He made the challenge to him, and I'm sure those guys are sitting there, you know, the tension's about as high as it can be, right? They're thinking, will this guy ever go away? but he doesn't. And so next we have David enters the scene. And it gives us a little bit of background on David. You know, he comes from a family of eight. Jesse was his dad, and Jesse's a little bit older in age, it says. So the kids were older. Three of the oldest were going out to battle. They were there at the battle scene. But David, he was the youngest in his family. And so David, he was tending the sheep. That was his job. So he was back home doing that. Occasionally he'd come out to the battle scene. So that's where we go next. You know, David, he arrives on the scene. His father had sent him there to bring some items to the brothers and maybe some other folks, where they brought some cheese and things. So he arrives at the camp, and at that time, kind of like I told you earlier, you're hearing shouts. Well, they were shouting the war cry, and they were going to align for battle. And so he comes up to that, and he runs to the battle line to see his brothers. And out comes Goliath. And so he's taunting the armies again with the same speech he makes every day. And so David heard his words. But once again, it says the battle-hardened men, they were afraid, and they fled. And they started talking about, well, whoever kills this giant, you know, the king's going to make him rich. He's going to give him his daughter. He's going to make their family tax-free. That sounds pretty good, right? Tax-free. And I don't know if you've ever found favor in from somebody like that, but that's pretty amazing. That would be very good. And from David's standpoint, you know, talk about making your parents proud. Hey, mom, hey, dad, you're tax-free for the rest of your life. So that would be pretty good to hear. But David didn't hear all that. The men were just talking, and then it says David, he started asking questions about what's happening, because he didn't hear the speech. He said he wants to know what's the rewards for, you know, fighting the giant. And then you've got David's brother, his oldest brother, Eliab. Well, he's not happy with David. He thinks that David is, you know, wicked, that he just came out to see the battle. And he questions his motives. And, you know, that's something often we deal with, right? We deal with family sometimes in the weirdest places, right? Here's David, he's in battlefield, and his brother's giving him a hard time. You know, what are you doing here? You know, you just want to watch the battle. But David, he turns to others and clarifies, what's the reward going to be? And so then you've got Saul, you know, he finally hears somebody asking about the rewards. So he summons David to come to see him. And David says to Saul, you know, don't let any man his heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So remember, this giant had no other challenges for 40 days. And here's David. So the question is, you know, why did David have so much confidence and faith to go up against this giant? And Saul questions it. He says, "Hey, you're just a boy, and Goliath, he's been a warrior since his youth. So why are you the one that's doing this, right?" So David's answer is, really what all of our answers should be. This is what the Lord has done through me in my life. And he gives him an example. He says, "Hey, while I've been tending sheep and a lion or a bear comes and takes one of my lambs," says, "I go after him and I attack him and I rescue my lamb from their mouth. And then when the lion or the bear raises up against me, I grab him by the beard and I kill him." So don't discount, I guess the lesson there is, don't discount what God has done in your life, the experiences he's given you that he can use for his glory. And that's what gave David his faith, right? And another reason for his faith, he also says, the Lord will do the same thing to the Philistine that he did, to the bear and to the lion. But he says, it's because of his taunting the army of the living God. That's why he's going to do it, right? It's a righteous cause. And that, again, strengthens David's faith. He knows that the Lord will do this not because Goliath taunted David, right? It's because Goliath taunted God's army. And we can be strengthened by that same thing if we are doing God's will, aligned with God, and going after his righteous causes. We can grow our faith. So another good lesson. And then we've got David. Now he's going to prepare for the fight. It's based on who David is. Saul, he starts clothing David with garments and a helmet and a sword. And, David's walking around. He's probably all clunky. He's never been clunky like that before with all this weight on him. Didn't say how much it weighs, but probably a good bit of weight. And he just realized, hey, I haven't tested this. I haven't fought in this armor before. So he took it off. He takes his stick. He finds some pebbles in the stream. It says 5 pebbles, smooth pebbles. Puts them in his bag with his sling. And so, this is who David was. He was a shepherd. He wasn't going to try to be anything different. He killed the lion and the bear. He's thinking, hey, I'll do the same thing with this giant. So then we've got what next section is very interesting to me. This is what I call the trash talk section, right? You've got David approaching Goliath, and Goliath had his shield bearer in front of him, but David's by himself. And Goliath, he expresses, hey, you're just a boy. You're handsome, you're young, you're just a boy. You come to me with a stick. He says, what am I, a dog, that you come to me with a stick? So he says, you come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the beast of the field, right? You're nothing. So David says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Now, if you're an Israelite, right, you've been there for 40 days, you're thinking, yeah, finally somebody's stepped up, right? And maybe we will be okay here. We'll get some servants after he wipes out Goliath, right? They're hopeful. But then David continues. He says, And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Right? So now you're one of the Israelites, and you're saying, maybe you're thinking, oh, did you have to threaten the whole army, right? We had this thing going where you're just going to kill the giant. It was going to be okay. But it is. So David's laid down the gauntlet here, right? He said, this is what God's going to do. So then we transition to the fight pretty quick here. You've got the Philistine. He rose up, the giant, and he comes and draws near to David. And then David ran quickly to the battle to meet the Philistine. And, you know, David put his stone in his sling. And it says he slung it and he hit the giant right in the middle of the forehead. It says it sunk in. So we know it did some good damage. Philistine, the giant, he falls over and he's dead. But David did not have a sword in his hand to take his head off. So then we've got David. He finishes the job. He'd already killed Goliath, but his next act is important because it instills fear into the Philistines and fulfills what he said. So he runs over, he takes the sword from the Philistine that he killed, and he cuts off his head. And so then you've got the Philistines, when they see this, they see, hey, our champion's been killed. You know, they flee. And then you've got the men of Israel. They arose, they shouted and pursued the Philistines, and it says they pursued them as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. So they slew all these Philistines along this path, and then they came back, and they were plundering the camps from the Philistines as they came back. And it says David, he took the head of the Philistine and he brought it to Jerusalem. But he put the weapons away in his tent, which we see show up somewhere else later. So the key here is David was a man of his word and he finished the job. What we see, it makes me think, what I see in our society today is, you know, we've become very soft, right? And we're afraid to finish the job. But God wants us to, right? He puts us in these situations and he wants us to be faithful, to have faith in him and finish the job. So after David does this, before he fought the giant and after he fought the giant, you have two sections there where Saul is asking, you know, what's your, you know, where do you come from? You know, what's your lineage? And maybe it's because he's going to be giving his daughter to David if he kills the giant, which he did. He wants to know a little bit about David, right? His father and so forth. And so David says, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. But to me, what's even more important is that he's a son of the living God, right? He should have been thinking about, you know, David's spiritual standing. Because David, you know, while everybody else, if you think about this, was consumed with the battlefield, right? The physical aspect of life and what was going on. You know, David, he was thinking spiritual. He was trusting in his heavenly father, and he knew how his heavenly father had made him and prepared him, and so that was what was important, and that's what's important to us. You know, so let's take a look at, you know, how to grow in faith from this battle, right? We learned that you know, people are going to underestimate who you are in Christ. it's just going to happen, right? David's brother, he saw him as wicked. he wasn't looking at him spiritually. Saul looked at David and said, you're just a boy. Right? He was looking at the physical. And then Goliath looked at him and said, hey, you're kind of handsome, but, you're still, you're a boy, right? All three of them underestimated who David was spiritually. And that's important for you to remember that you've got to look beyond that. And then have faith in God's work in you, right? So David, he looked back and he said, hey, God's been with me. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear, and God's done the same thing in your life. You've got to look for those things that God's accomplished in you that might be, not a specific application to what you're facing, but in reality it is. That's he's made you for that moment, whatever it is. And then make sure it's a righteous cause. I don't want you to go out of here thinking, Bruce said I can always conquer Goliath. Well, is Goliath the righteous cause for the day? You gotta pick your battles, as they say, right? Make sure you're pursuing in life what will be glorifying to God. And as you do that, He will prepare you. He will see you through it and make you victorious. So in that case, Goliath had taunted the armies of the God of Israel, and that was a righteous cause to go up against him. Next, prepare based on who you are. We saw that, David was a shepherd. He figured it out that, hey, I'm used to a slingshot, I'm used to a stick. I'm not used to all this armor. And maybe it's the same thing for you, right? You're in a situation and people are telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to have this. And you look back and you say, nah, not really. I'm prepared. I'm ready. Let's go. And then finally, be prepared to finish the job, to take the head as David did, right? If you stop midway, God's not going to get the glory that he should get, and it's probably going to come back and haunt you in some way. But God wants us to be ones that finish the job. So now I ask you, so who was the underdog in this situation? So many times when you hear the story of David and Goliath, you think of David as the underdog. I would argue that Goliath never stood a chance. He was up against the God of Israel, our Heavenly Father, right? And as with David, you are a child of God. And you're favored, right? So go into your battles knowing who you are, that you're favored. Look for these areas that we talked about, and God will deliver you, right? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for just such detail you gave us with David's life and the battle that he was in here, but how you used him in that moment, that you had prepared him through life, and that reminding us that you'll do the same for us, God, that each one of us is so different, but we are your children, and there is no greater thing to know our Heavenly Father. Help us to get intimate with you and gain from that the faith that we need to bring you glory day to day, Lord. We praise you for this time and your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
About to have our communion, so I invite you to stand. We're going to have a hymn for calling us to victory. Steve requested that we switch, so if you would take your... We're going to sing Victory in Jesus as our hymn for the communion. So, Victory in Jesus.
Story, how our Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And somehow I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the
seated.
God is good that He gives us this communion time. It's what He wants us to do when we gather together as believers. So many really different thoughts relate to communion, but I think one of the couple main ones is that we're to love Him because He has loved us. That song we just sang, that chorus, I love that chorus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We have these communion times, and oftentimes I know I reflect on what actually the Lord has done for us relative to Christ's death and resurrection, but I want to take just a little different approach and then read something from Spurgeon. That is, knowing that the Lord has loved us, knowing that he has forgiven us, how should we live? So this is from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, June 26th. I just read this because it's very instructive. When I read it, I was very much convicted, very much challenged in terms of living a holy life for the Lord, and we should all be ones as we think about who he is and what he does for it. The verse is 2 Peter 1, verse 4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He goes on to say, banish forever all thoughts of indulging the flesh if you want to live in the power of your risen Lord. It is tragic when a man who is alive in Christ dwells in the corruption of sin. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Should the living dwell in a tomb? Should divine life be buried in the grave of fleshly lust? How can we partake of the cup of the Lord and yet drink the cup of Satan? Surely you are delivered from open lust and sins. Have you also escaped from the secret and delusive traps of the satanic hunter? Have you escaped from slothfulness? Are you free from carnal security? Are you seeking day by day to live above worldliness, the pride of life, and greed? Remember, it is for this reason that you have been enriched with the treasures of God. Do not permit all the lavish treasure of grace to be wasted upon you. Follow after holiness. It is the Christian's crown and glory. An unholy church is useless to the world and has no esteem among men. It is an abomination, hell's laughter, and heaven's abhorrence. The worst evils which have ever come upon the world have been brought upon it by an unholy church. You are God's priest. Act as such. You are God's king. Reign over your lust. You are God's chosen. Do not associate with sin. Heaven is your inheritance. Live like a heavenly spirit, and you'll prove that you have true faith in Jesus. There cannot be faith in the heart unless there's holiness in the life. Indeed, that's a challenge, but it's a good challenge because if believers, we need to be ones who are living like this, and there's no doubt that one of the purposes for this communion time is to inspire us, to encourage us, to motivate us then to live holy lives for the Lord. So let's take a minute now. We'll personally just pray before the Lord. We want our hearts collectively, individually, but also collectively be pure before the Lord. So just take a minute and pray, then I'll pray, then we'll have our communion time. Thank you, Father, so much for this time we have now to remember you, Lord Jesus, and what you've done for us in dying for us, being raised from the dead, having selected us, chosen us from eternity past to save us, to forgive us of our sins. We bless you for that. Thank you so much for your love for us, that we have eternal life, that we're forever holy in your sight, forever loved by you. But Lord, might we also be ones who are motivated now at this time to be encouraged to keep going for you, to keep living for you, to be holy in our lives, Lord. We'll all admit that there are times when we, maybe many times during the week, when we aren't living right like we should. But thank you that, Lord, you keep loving us and keep forgiving us, and we are then motivated to keep living for you. But thank you now for this time we have to remember you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Again, dear Father and Lord Jesus, we bless you. We thank you for your great love for us. Every day, every minute, your eyes are upon us. And Lord Jesus, we know how much you're looking forward to being with us, and we look forward to being with you too. Life is at times very, very difficult, but you give us grace, and we thank you for that. But again, Lord, we do love you, and thank you for your love for us. Just lead us this week as we go on for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of announcements here. Our Bible study, we continue going through Matthew quite slowly. This is our Wednesday night time. This week we are actually spending our time focusing on the rapture of the Christians. That'll be a very encouraging time. We have Matthew meal listed for the end of this month. I believe that's going to take place. They were working in the fellowship hall and working on the ceiling and noticed some problems up there, so it's going to take them just a little longer. I'm assuming they'll be done, but you know, if things have been delayed, we'll just continue on. But thankful for the progress. You all can see it that they've made so far. I've got listed there the vacation Bible study at Bethel that they're doing. That's the first full week, Monday through Friday of June. And, of course, they invite us to join with them, whether that's in serving or whether that's we have children that we want to bring. And that's that time. So be looking ahead to that. And next week I'll continue on my subject, Lies and Truth, Part 2. I also want to mention, if you go back there, you'll see a couple different items you could pick up. We have the In Touch devotionals. They provide them for us for free, and so you can take one for yourself. If you want to, you have a friend, you want to take one to him or her, that's fine as well. Also, there are those booklets in the rack there, different subjects, forgiveness and security, the Holy Spirit. Those are also free as well, and when they get low, they just get more, order more. So if you want to take one or two for yourself or for a friend, feel free to do that. Okay, and of course, then also we are blessed that we can give back to the Lord for how he gave to us. We have the little box back there. You can give your gift, or you can send it online or in the mail. Thank you.
Onward Christian Soldiers. Okay. I got mine mixed up. Y'all be singing the wrong song. Everybody standing? All right, good. All right, we're all ready then. I'm holding everything up. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners low. Soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on. nations quiver at a shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one, with the cause of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army, who's a church of God, brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels see. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one, with the cross of Jesus going on before. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Benediction from Jude, verse 1 and 2. To those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Amen.